Welcome. This week's show with Joanne Jackson, president of Cyber Stitchers, is sponsored by the Embroiderers Guild of America at egausa.org. Two items of note this time. One is an upcoming new program, Affiliated Shops Program, EGA Affiliated Shops Program. And so if you're a shop owner, or you might encourage your local shop to join this program, what this does is put your shop on the upcoming page on the EGA site with a shop logo or photo, your location, contact information, and website. So you get listed on the website, the EGA website, which, of course, puts you in front of an awful lot of people. Then you also get a subscription to Needle Arts Magazine, excellent publication, and then a sticker that you can put on your window or door of your shop that indicates you are a proud supporter of EGA. And the fee is $35. All the information is at the EGA website, but a great new upcoming program to give shops some visibility and some exposure and encourage people to support their local needlework stores. Another item is, of course, the National Seminar. Now, that's coming up September 1 through 5. The theme is the Magnificent Stitch, and it's going to be held on the Magnificent Mile in Chicago at the Chicago Marriott Downtown Hotel. Registration is open, and open now through June 15. And one of the questions that many ask is, will this be live or virtual show? And right now, that's up in the air, but they indicate on the website that by May 31st, they'll have made that decision. And, of course, they're pushing for a live seminar event because that's where the real fun is. But a lot of factors come into play. So they'll be making that decision by the 31st of May. And then another question that comes up is, if I sign up for a class now and it's a virtual thing, what happens to my class sign up? Nothing. You will stay. You will keep your class assignment and not lose out on that. So go ahead and register. Either way, you're going to get the classes that you sign up for, whether it's live or virtual. So don't worry about that. Sign up now through June 15 at the EGA website, egausa.org. And assuming it is live, and we all, of course, hope it will be, you'll be in Chicago, and they have four tours lined up outside of the regular seminar stitching programs, and really encourage you to set aside some time for that. I live in the Chicago area, and tours in Chicago are just a real treat. Ones that they have set up, the Frank Lloyd Wright Home and Studio, absolute must-see. Art Institute, if you've never been to the Chicago Art Institute, it is an outstanding place, and I think they've allotted a couple, 3 hours for that tour. I would venture you'll stick around longer than that, because there's just so much to see at the Art Institute. Then there's another tour, Walk the Sites Looking Up, and of course architecture in Chicago is quite impressive. And then if you're a chocolate lover, okay, who isn't? That was a stupid question. Chocolate Decadence is the tour. Usma Sharif's business, Chocolat Usma, and you go there and see a demonstration, learn about making chocolates, and get to make your own chocolate creation. So four tours in addition to the seminar activities that you might want to look into, definitely Art Institute. That's my vote. So all of those things coming up, register at egausa.org and encourage your shop, your local shop, to join the Affiliated Shops Program with EGA. And with that, we'll get on with our show with Joanne Jackson. Now, Joanne Jackson is the president of Cyber Stitchers, which is online group affiliated with the EGA, and of course, as we talk about that, and then of course we get off into other stitching topics, you'll learn an awful lot about Cyber Stitchers and EGA along with it. So much more EGA things to come, in addition to just some general stitching chit chat. Joanne was fantastic. We had a great time. Beth and I had a great time talking with her, and I'm confident you'll enjoy the show. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Our artist this week, the president of Cyber Stitchers, Joanne Jackson. Joanne, welcome.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this. Never been on a podcast before.
Oh, this will be fun. Now, Joanne, just for people, for your information, Joanne made a huge mistake. Joanne wrote to me and asked if we might, on one of the shows, mention Cyber Stitchers. Well, the next thing she knew, she's doing a full-blown podcast. So, you know.
That's it.
Well, one of the members of the board mentioned that you were very interested in EGA, and were you aware of Cyber Stitchers? Because it is for people who do not have a local chapter, or even for people who do have a local chapter but want to expand and do something more. But it was started primarily for the members at large who did not have a local chapter and wanted to be able to take part in some of the programs that EGA made available to chapters. And since they did not have a chapter, they couldn't participate in those.
Okay, so that ties it together for me, because that was the missing piece for me, because I'm a member at large.
Yes.
And so Cyber Stitchers, if I join, Cyber Stitchers can be my local chapter without having there is a local chapter in my area. It works better for me to not have another set of meetings to go to. So,
Yes, Cyber Stitchers can be your chapter, and then you can be a chapter member. And our meetings are very easy to attend. We were formed in 2000, and when we were formed, we held meetings via Yahoo Groups. When Yahoo Groups started to go away, we switched to Groups.io. So we were trendy before everyone had to be stay at home, because all of our meetings were held online, and they were held via text, via messaging. We have groups that we have a meeting group where when we take care of business, everything happens there. You can get emails either individually or a digest, and to follow along what happens. We take daily polls to make sure we have a quorum, and to encourage people who may want to add more to what they have. Some people have been generous and donated things to the chapter. We have a daily door prize drawing of all the people who say, yes, I'd love to have some more stuff. And it just, you know, you're given an option of, no, I don't need anything more. Yes, I want something more. This is just to encourage people to to say, yes, I'm here. I'm following along. And we meet for 5 days, starting the second Thursday each month. So we meet, or second Thursday in odd numbered months. So we meet January, March, May, July, September, November. And so it's not really terribly time consuming. You get an email, it'll tell you, well, we have a poll you need to respond to. You can click on the poll, go and vote for if we have something that needs to be voted on. All our classes are offered online. We have started branching out recently. We have had a few Zoom meetings on a Saturday. The bookmark I sent you was one of the first ones we did. We did That's a Petite Project from EGA. We just said, if anyone wants to participate, let's stitch this together. We have had a couple designers sit in on our Zoom meeting and share some of how they come up with designs, or show us what they're doing and what new things they have. It's just a way, since we've never really seen each other ever, to meet people that we've just seen names of as they go across on email messages.
I've lost track now of all the meetings. So what is the regular meeting time? Is there a regular monthly meeting, or is it those meetings on the odd numbered months?
It's just the 5 days on odd numbered months. You get emails in your however you decide you want it, either individual messages or a digest. And they show up just on the odd numbered months with, okay, here's something you need to worry about or do something with. Mm-hmm. You could do it in your pajamas in your spare time at midnight. There is no time constraint for when you have to be present. So it
back up the truck here. Okay, I missed that part. So then, this is speaking more to me. So then I'm not obligated at 7 o'clock on Thursday night of the third week of the fourth month of the whatever.
No, to show up.
Okay.
No. They would like you every day, like Thursday through Tuesday, to at least reply to the poll to say, I was here, so that we can make sure we have a quorum, because we're not sitting in the same room. You just have to do it sometime between when they post the poll on Thursday and when they post the poll on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So you have any time in that 24 hours, you can say, I was here.
Hmm.
That counts as what you need to do. If you want to read your messages at midnight, that is perfectly fine. Understanding if you have a question, you may not get an immediate response because not everyone is awake at midnight. You know, so it fits your schedule. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to adjust your schedule to fit ours.
Hmm. So my question is, do you have, like during those meetings, do you have like a project you do each meeting?
We're working on adding more to that. We have in the past. We got away from it for a while. We have had the past president had some little extras that she shared with us. But we had gotten away from having programs every meeting. I'm trying to get us back so we have some type of program every meeting. But it is not as formatted as a regular chapter.
Okay.
It is a regular chapter. We are in the Tennessee Valley region. So we all get invited to go to the Tennessee Valley Seminar. We're members. We would be members of TVR. And their seminar is called Share a Stitch. Our members come from, we've had on our Zoom call members from Germany, several places in the U.S., Canada, and Australia. So picking a time for when we can all be together is interesting.
Yeah.
The person in Germany, it's rather late at night. The person in Australia, it's rather early in the morning.
Right.
Because we usually do them on a Saturday in the middle of the afternoon, East Coast time. But that is a totally optional thing that people can participate in if they want to. You're not required to do anything. One of the things the chapter has, which you mentioned on some of the questions you had, was the big educational event. We call it a B. We want to encourage people to learn. So we take a poll, usually twice a year, to say, what of the current GCCs would you be interested in having the chapter provide? And the chapter will pay for the registration fee. You have to pay for the text and kit fee, but they will pick up the registration fee and any postage that's associated with that to encourage people to participate. The Princess and the Pea piece that I sent you was one of the current GCCs that we did.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing currently two every 6 months.
So you did four total? Is that correct?
Yes. You're only allowed to take one free or one that the chapter will provide the payment for. You can take others, but you have to then contribute some to the cost of the teaching fee.
Okay.
But you're eligible to take any of the ones that the chapter sponsors, but you only can take one for free.
Okay, and just so people know, GCC is group correspondence course.
Yes, the group correspondence courses, and they're always changing, so there's always something fresh that people are interested in. I think we had about 40 people taking the Princess and the Pea class.
Well, that's a nice size group for a chapter, because we have a hard time getting 10 people to participate in group correspondence class. About how many are in your guild?
Our chapter has approximately 150 members, and having them, and they're, like I said, several of them are members at large, I'm in other chapters, so I am a plural member of the Cyber Stitchers. Several people are, this is their primary chapter, and this is the, you know, this may be the only chapter they belong to. We are looking at having a teacher come in and teach a class. We're planning to have Debbie Rowley teach a couple of her pieces to our chapter over the summer. And these will be done via Zoom and Groups.io. That is also how the group correspondence courses are held. They have their own dedicated Group.io group that's just for them so that they can see what's happening and participate in it and ask questions. The teachers are invited to participate in that so they can answer questions if we have them.
What I'm getting out of this is incredible flexibility for members in terms of how you participate and when. That's a real difference maker, I'm sure, for a lot of people.
Yes, it is. And like I said, the classes are optional. The Zoom meeting that we have monthly is optional. If you want, it's nice to just sit and stitch with friends, because I think that is the thing most people have noticed while we've been locked at home, or while most people are still staying at home, is we miss the social aspect of sitting with friends and stitching. It's a little different sitting in front of your computer stitching with them, but it is still sitting stitching with friends. And now we get to put some faces with some names we've seen. We get to learn more about people who are around the world that are part of our chapter.
Yeah, that's neat too. That's one of the real benefits of all this, is the opening up and meeting and interacting with people from all over the world. It really is a plus.
And it's nice that you have so many, like most chapters that I know of, just are able to maybe sponsor one group correspondence course a year, maybe two. But to get enough interest, it's difficult to do sometimes. But you all give a wide variety if you offer four a year. That's quite a bit of opportunity to learn something new.
Well, what they do is they put up a poll and say, these are the correspondence courses that are available. And they pick the ones that have the highest number of members that are interested, usually over 10. And then they will pick two in the fall time and two in the springtime to offer.
Okay.
And so we already know there's interest in taking the course. And if you have 150 people, that's a wide variety of people that have varying interests. I think this year we did Princess in the Pea, the Keeping in Shape, the Beaded Necklace. We're doing Myrtle, the Casaguidi piece.
Okay.
And I forget what the fourth one is, but they were four completely different types of pieces. So not everyone is going to be interested in all four that are offered. It's possible you will, but they are four totally different types of pieces. And so it does give a chance for people to participate and learn something new if they want to.
Right. And then you also have, like, because EGA has been offering the lightning rounds, which are,
yes,
are nice. But if you've got a group of people, what's nice about doing it with your own chapter is that if you have questions, because that's the idea, is you're supposed to be learning something new.
Yes.
So if you're learning...
I will say that I was in the Princess and the Pea class, and yes, people did have questions about how is this. We post pictures as we were going along on here's my progress, here's what's happening. Should I do something different? You know, should I pick a different color? And you could get feedback from the other people in your group. So it does give you more of the feeling that we're not having a meeting as such that we get together once a month and we work on the class, but we have the ability that when you have a question, you can ask the question, and someone more than likely will have an answer for that question.
That's really nice.
The thing I like about this is, and it's what I like about EGA in general, is that there's no one single technique that dominates. There's something for everyone. Yeah.
Yes, there is. We're doing some things. Last year, the president had a challenge, and hers was she came up with some phrases from around the world. I sent you a couple of pictures that people had submitted. They finished all of the parts of it. And her phrases were like, the first one for January last year was a former barracks and prison, now a traditional art museum. You had to do a little research to figure out what she was talking about. But she was talking about Bargello. And so they put a little part of Bargello in their piece.
Hmm.
Another month it was, has been described as poetry on fabric. And this, when you found out and you went searching for it, it was chican or shadow work from India.
Wow, that's interesting.
You know, another clue was Benjamin Franklin wanted this bird to be our national symbol.
Turkey
work.
Oh, that's good.
You know, so she had some, she was doing that. So there were a variety of different clues, and I gave you two different pictures of how people put together what she was doing. I am doing something different that I said you could do any technique that EGA allows, which is something that you do with a threaded needle. So it can be on any type of ground fabric, such as, you know, it can be on linen, on canvas, beads, quilting, surface embroidery, smocking, any of that, you know, golden metal. My challenge was I give you something each month as a hint and put together some type of sampler or design that incorporates all the hints. You can pick them from wherever you can find a place that has them. I think the first month I said something like a building or a flower. So, so this gives you a chance to be a little bit creative. Wherever you find these things, you can find them and put them in there. But it's a chance to be creative in a safe space.
Right, right. And so how many people participate in that normally in the chapter?
I think everyone is interested in seeing what happens. Not necessarily everyone participates. I think we had maybe less than 10 that actually stitched everything. Because sometimes things get a little hectic in life.
Right, right.
And you may start off with good intentions, but then you know how that goes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, now in a project like that, Beth, somebody who has a lot of stash, say, in a basement, could really, really have some fun with that.
Yeah. And knows a lot of different, maybe different techniques, not a master of any, but just a...
Right.
You don't have to... You don't have to, you know, you can quilt something that has these things or surface embroidery something that has these things. You don't have to use all the techniques. You can use any one you want. One of the other things we did last year, we thought it would be a good idea. We started and got signed up in January. We decided we wanted to do a round robin. And so that was what, there were 10 of us that decided, well, yeah, let's do this. We'll ship, we'll, something about maybe 3 square inches. We'll ship it off about the first of each month to go to the, and we had a loop set up that I always sent it to the same person. I got it from the same person. You could pick whatever ground fabric you wanted, and you could pick whatever theme you wanted, so that all of them were different. They were a lot of fun. I had fun stitching on it. When I got them every month, that was one of the first things I worked on. I figured out what was the theme and what do I need to do in order to fit this in. I sent you a picture of my completed one. I thought I would have a flower garden, and the green borders are what I stitched. So I made some rather irregular shapes that I put together. And the interpretation that people did of flower garden are amazing. I thought they were absolutely amazing. If you look, the J in the middle was, I think, all over one, and this was on 28 count linen.
Mm-hmm.
Someone did a lot of French knots for the, what are they? Hydrangeas. Those are all French knots, and that's fairly raised. It was just an amazing piece, and I love it. I'd never participated in something like this. It was very fun for me to see, what am I getting? What am I adding something to this month? What is the theme? And how? What am I going to do for it?
So for those who don't know, then everybody in the round robin in the group, the circle, starts their thing with their theme, mm-hmm. and then it gets passed around. And by the time it gets back to them, then you've had input from everybody in the group as to your theme.
Yes.
You've been able to contribute to everyone else's too. That's fun.
Yes. Yes, it was. It was a lot of fun.
So did you send threads with yours, or did you suggest colors?
I had just finished a large sampler that I had been working on for years. It was a sampler project from another group I belong to. And I had all these threads left over, and I thought, I'll just be nice since I love stitching with silk threads, and these were all silk threads. I'll toss those in and let people stitch with those. That way I know all the colors will come back and they will go together well. because I sent the threads along. I think I was the only one that sent threads. Everyone else, you know, you didn't have to send threads. I just had them. They were some I'd had for years. I mean, they were not new threads. They were, I'd had them around for a long time. So I sent them along because I thought it would be fun to send them and see what people come up with and do with that.
I'm hearing Bess wheels spinning right now. Yeah.
Yes. Because I'm going to, next year I am president of our guild, my local guild. And it's like, okay, now how can I incorporate any of this to get my, you know, because that's part of the fun, you know, is to participate in some of these things and just spur on some creativity and to,
yes. Well, you know, we talked about what we were doing. We would post some pictures of what things were like. We decided if we got the next to the last piece we stitched on, we could only post what we stitched, not a picture of the whole thing. And mm-hmm. the last piece, we didn't post anything, so the person wouldn't know what it was going to be like. They just got it in the mail. Because then that's somewhat of a surprise, because you could look and see what was happening to your piece because some of it was online.
Right.
And so I did get some previews of what people were doing. And I'm just amazed at the creativity and the wonder of what people did and how they put things together.
That is, and what a great way to spark learning and creativity in your group. I mean, that's what intrigues me about it, is you're saying, okay, I'm passing this on, but now you need to figure out something to put in this piece. I just yes. think that's a great way to push that learning forward, which is what EGA is all about. It's about yes. learning more about needlework.
And there was nothing that said you had to be original. I think all of the things I had, I found someplace. Parts of patterns or parts of designs or something of that nature. The most original thing I did was how I laid out my design. And that was just, I kind of laid it out as a flower garden with borders. And that was the only thing original that I did, because I don't think I've ever seen anything shaped like that. So my sections were really weird. They were not square. Okay. One person did hers on banding. One person did it on canvas. A couple people did it on Aida. I think the rest of us all used linen of some type. One person had what they wanted was Savannah, things about Savannah. So I was going, okay, what can I find out about Savannah so I can put something in there about Savannah? Someone had looked up, I guess it's where Girl Scouts were founded, and they stuck in a Girl Scout emblem. Someone found the design for the School of Design that's in Savannah, and they charted that. I happen to have done something with pineapples, and pineapple is a symbol that is used a lot in the South for hospitality, so I stuck some pineapples in there. Another one was what makes you happy. And one of the people, it was an amazing piece she did. She said she's happiest when she's on her boat on the Hudson River. And so she had designed her boat and charted it to fit in the little space she had and stitched that.
So this kind of a project gives you, obviously, a chance, a little exposure to design work, too, then.
A little. It's
just
not,
enough, yeah.
It's not terribly challenging. It's like you had a little 3-inch block that you had to fit something in. So it's not really overly hard. Like I said, I usually found something from some piece, someplace that I could use to fit the design.
Mm-hmm.
The one about what made me happy, I said family and friends, but the things I put down for family and friends were a fox and a horse and an owl. And I told the person that was getting it that she'd have to wait to read why those were symbolic of family and friends. And I'll tell you, because I think she's gotten it back already. My grandchildren, one of them loves foxes and the other one loves horses. And a stitching group I'm in is called the Night Owls.
Hmm.
So I figured You know, that's because how else do you symbolize family and friends without drawing people?
Right, right.
And I thought right. And I just found some free little charts that had, you know, I found a simple fox and a little horse and a little owl. You know, perfect. Nothing terribly complex. Another one wanted like life at the shore, or seashore, or undershore, or some, you know, underwater, or something like this. And I happened to have a calendar that had a seashore picture on it. So I picked a little portion that would fit in the space I had that had some fish and stitched those. So it's kind of going, well, where could I find something that might fit in the little space that I have to fill in that goes with whatever the theme is? And since there was some other fish next to it, it kind of fit in and moved right along with what she was doing.
Perfect.
Fun stuff. All right. Now, you guys have a unique, I don't know if that's unique, but certainly an interesting membership structure that allows people to test the waters. So talk about how you become a member.
Okay, we have a guest membership where you're able to be a guest, because most EGA chapters allow you to be a guest for a couple meetings, and you may find this is not something that you like, but you can be a guest for a couple of months to go and see, this is how things work. Am I going to get too many messages? Because some people decide, I'm not really that into email. I don't want to deal with this. And some people go, that's not that big a deal. You're able to sit in the meetings. If we have something that's happening in the meeting, you can participate as part of the program. If there's an extra cost, you do have to pay for it. But this gives you a chance to see if this type of situation is something that you would enjoy and you could fit into your schedule. Some people go, well, that's way too much bother for me. I don't want to do it. Some people say, yay, I want to participate. I really like this. It's a chance for me to go and explore more. We're going to start membership the 1st of April for renewing for next year, because EGA has all memberships due the end of May. So we would like to get them in to help our treasurer not have so much of a hassle in our membership person, so that they can have them all done and organized on a timely basis. So if you register, if you join anytime after April 1st, then your membership is good through May 31st of 2022.
Okay.
So you get 14 months for the price of 12.
What does it cost me to be a member?
You would ask me that, and I don't have that number right down in front of me.
Well, see, I'm supposed to have it written down and just ask the question knowing the answer, but I don't either. So, you know, we're in the same boat.
Should I look it up?
Yeah, Beth, why don't you do the practical thing and look it up?
Okay, I happen to be a life patron member of EGA, so I have to pay out-of-region dues for a plural member. I don't have to pay the EGA dues. Oh, okay. I just have to pay the chapter dues, which I believe is $12 or $15 a year, and the region dues, which I think is another $5. But okay. I don't quote me on those numbers. They are on the website, cyberstitchers.org.
Yeah, which is where Beth is headed right now to find that number for us.
Yes, I am. I am hitting membership.
Yes.
All right, so let's see. Join as a new member. Okay. Choose an option. So if you're a plural member
I am out of the TVR region, so I have to pay out of region dues.
Okay.
For a year. So, I don't remember what it is.
It's okay, so if you're a plural member and you're in the region, that's 12. There's lots of different options. But let's say you're gonna make it your primary member.
Mm-hmm.
What is it if I just walk in off the street? I got nothing.
It's not telling me. It says
it should.
13. Okay, know what it is? It's $54. And okay. You would join EGA and you become a member.
Yes. That is your EGA dues, your chapter dues, and the region dues.
And the region dues.
Okay.
So, and then if you go to the website, and this is just for people who, because I am a member, obviously, of my local chapter, you would have to be. But then I would have to join the Tennessee region and join Cyber Stitchers as a member. But I don't have to repay my membership.
No. All you have to do is you'd be a plural member. And it depends on which region you're in. The region I am, my other chapters are in, is South Central. So I am not in the Tennessee Valley region, so I have to pay Tennessee Valley dues as well.
Right.
Okay, now I have to say, now I am thoroughly confused. All right, so for me, okay, just for me, I'm a member at large of EGA. So then,
and your dues expires the end of May?
Right.
You would be then joined for, is it $54, and you would be a member of our chapter for the next year and a member of EGA.
For the $54.
For the $54.
Right. Okay, see, that sounds more approachable. You guys were stacking on with all those other things, and I just saw the price going up.
So for
$54, I can be a Cyber Stitchers member and an EGA member.
Yes.
For a year. See, that's pretty reasonable. Okay.
Yes.
Right. And it just, and then if you're a member of another chapter,
it's different pricing.
It's just different pricing. But they actually, their website has it very well laid out.
Okay.
So it should not be confusing to anyone who goes in there and starts pushing buttons, which, you know, I like to do.
Yep.
Okay. You did have a question about accommodating different time zones. Our meetings are held at your convenience, so it doesn't matter which time zone you're in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's nice.
I think that's a huge plus, is what that is.
Yes. Yes. The only thing that we have a time on is when we have our monthly Zoom calls. And we try to set those up to cover most of the continental U.S. and Canada,
mm-hmm.
to make it convenient for them. And we try to make it not at a time that's horridly inconvenient for people around the world.
Yeah.
But it's hard to cover, like I said, from Germany across the U.S., Canada to Australia and get everyone at a convenient time.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
No.
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 This doesn't happen.
But we've had people on our Zoom calls from all the places.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, this is fantastic. So obviously in listening to you talk, Joanne, you do a lot of needlework. How did you get, what started you in the needlework world?
My grandmother, when I was about 6.
Ah.
I don't know if either of you remember, like, the pictures that were stamped on muslin, like you had the deer in the forest or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I started stitching on. I think I still have one that I haven't finished that I started with my grandmother. My grandmother grew up on a homestead in western South Dakota. My mother was born in the late 20s. They were out in the middle of the boonies. So my grandmother did a lot of quilting, a lot of, you know, you made or did whatever you needed. So I have some quilts that she did. I have not gotten interested in quilting. That is not something I want to do. But I have done a lot of other needlework. She started me stitching. I sew. I learned to crochet and knit. I prefer crochet to knitting. Unfortunately, neither of those are EGA approved activities because they do not use a threaded needle, which is sad, but it's just their rules. I taught myself to needlepoint using it was a very interesting book I found in the mid 70s called the New York Times Book of Needlepoint. Went through several different stitches with really good instructions on how to do it. And what I find I like most are things that combine a variety of stitches. You would call them samplers. Sometimes they're on linen, sometimes they're on canvas.
On linen, on canvas. So you would hunt down samplers then that have all kinds of stitches in them.
Sometimes, yes. The linen ones have a little less flexibility for the variety of stitches than the canvas ones. But I also, I prefer counted canvas work or counted linen work,
mm-hmm.
to painted canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Just my preference. I really like counted work to painted work.
Yes.
And I find it's challenging to learn new things. I love learning new stuff. And I've been doing things that combine some of this. I take classes that help me learn different things in a different way. and expand my knowledge so that I can have a little more, I can expand what I'm doing and maybe learn to do it a little better.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I do kind of cross-stitch.
You're in good company.
Samplers.
You're in good company here. Yes.
This year I'm trying to decide if I took on a little more than what I really should have. My local chapter has, in January, we have what we commit to, our magic list, my annual good intention commitment, that we can put down five things we want to finish. And one of the things I decided to do, I'd seen, I don't know if you have followed along on any of the online stitch-alongs that they've been having. I decided I wanted to do one of those. And so I decided, oh, well, I'll put that down on my magic list. So I'm doing the, can I talk about the Steady Thread, their flower garden?
Talk about whatever you want. Go for it.
Yeah, that's, they have several different versions. I'm doing the flower garden layout. And then I've also been intrigued by linen and threads. They have, theirs is more of a real mystery, because if you look at what they've done in the past, every one of them is completely different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Last year was a Quaker sampler. This year, the only hint we had was it was going to be based on Talavera tiles from Spain. So that kind of gave you a clue as to colors, but you had no idea what it was going to be like.
Yeah, as that one's shaping up, Brendan really went out in a different direction this year. That's I've been enjoying watching that one as people have stitched it. It's really unique, yeah.
Yes, I'm stitching on that one too. So I have two of these year-long projects. One gets a new part once a week, and one gets a new part once a month.
You are very brave. To do two. I did one last year, and that kept me busy.
Well, the round robin was what kept me busy last year, as I was stitching along on all these different pieces and keeping up with other things. But it's fun to do. I also love to bead, and I've been doing some beading pieces, and we're having a beading class coming up soon. And I have fun beading and making shape things rather than just like needle cases or some other things, which are really pretty. I've done a strawberry and an acorn, and we're doing little boxes. We're learning how to make some little boxes this time.
Well, that is great. Is that your local chapter or the Cyber Stitch?
No, that is my local chapter that's doing that. We hadn't gotten Cyber Stitchers involved in that because it could be that you can get to some... That requires a little more hands-on or in-person technique mm-hmm. or ability to help people sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so we have done the beading, the keeping in shape beading project, and the people working on that could help each other. But having a class could get to be a little more complex to do. We may try doing one of these sometime in the future, because they are fun and they are interesting to participate in.
You know what I'm taking out of all these things that you do is a whole lot of fun stitching that does not involve buying a chart or kit that allows you to be creative and express yourself and have a lot of fun stitching and interacting with others. It's kind of a neat thing all the way around.
Yes, I enjoy. That's one of the things I really enjoy doing. I was doing a group of us at seminar one year decided we would have a little challenge among us to design something small, like no larger than a 3 or 4 inch round or square ornament, just something little.
Mm-hmm.
And I had found these bags of thread. They had grab bags of thread. And so said, use these colors of thread. Design whatever you want. That was two of the pieces that I sent you a picture of. The one that looks like the weird Bargello, mm-hmm. that was the colors of thread that were in it, and that was my interpretation of a weather map.
Okay.
I called it Bad Day at White Rock. From being in Arlington, you know where White Rock Lake is. Mm-hmm. Yes, we had a bad storm come through, and that was kind of what the weather map looked like. The other one is the weird looking flowers. I was just playing with a lot of the Hilton type stitches So mine aren't at all Halloween-y, although they were Halloween colors because they were purple and orange and green.
Uh-huh.
But mine don't look like Halloween. Another year, I had a shop find me 5 skeins of an overdyed thread that were all from the same dye lot. So we all started out at the same place and used that as the base for whatever you were stitching. That was where I designed the interlocking ribbon piece. And the one I designed was the green gold one first. And then I did a second one that was the red, white, and blue one.
Mm-hmm.
That one I was surprised they printed it in needle pointers and put it on the cover of needle pointers one year,
yeah.
Which surprised me tremendously. For those who don't know, needle pointers is the magazine of the American Needlepoint Guild.
Do you enjoy designing, like formal designing where you sit down to come out with a finished piece? Do you enjoy doing that?
Not as much as some other people. I do it a little. And like I said, I'm more limited to, I will play with like a 3 or 4 inch ornament to put something together. I'm not designing some of these large projects.
Yeah.
I will put pieces together to make something larger, but I am not one of the people that, and I appreciate all our very talented designers that do things because that's way beyond some of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have necessarily the artistic talent to come up with some of those designs.
Yeah.
I possibly could take some more classes to learn more about that, but I haven't yet. And there's more than enough stuff that I enjoy doing and working on that I haven't gotten finished that I need to finish to start taking more things. My husband claims I have to live until I finish everything I have on hand.
So you're living into eternity with me, huh?
Yes. I'm going to have a very long life because there's you know, what can you do? You've got all this stuff to finish, and who's going to want it if it isn't finished? My biggest problem is I love stitching, so I have all these things that are stitched. But I haven't done something with them after they're stitched. And that's what I need to start doing is do something with them after they're stitched.
You put them in a drawer and project. You put them in the drawer and move on to the next one. That's what you do with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got your fun out of them. Yeah. Just try the next one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of the other things. No, I don't have a studio of my own. I have places where I sit and stitch. I try to stitch every day. Sometimes I manage, sometimes I don't. What I have been doing during meetings, it's again with my local chapter, not Cyber Stitchers, but Cyber Stitchers does have community service type projects. They have community service for one where you can work on something for your local group for Cyber Stitchers, which EGA does encourage. Our chapter here in Dallas was doing these flannel hearts for NICU. They have done some research that the sense of smell is one of the first things that babies develop. And the babies in NICU do not get a lot of time with mom because if they're in NICU, they are not really able to be out of their little isolettes very much.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stitched some words on the sampler that says, like, from my heart to yours. And 2 of them go in a set. You give them to the moms that have babies in NICU. They wear one next to their skin. Then when they go see their baby, they put that one in with the baby. They take the one the baby has, bring it home, wash it, and put it next to their skin so that it smells like mom.
Wow.
Oh, what a great idea. What a fabulous idea.
Yes. So that's what our local chapter here is doing for a, you know, a community service type project.
Wow. That is really neat.
That is so cool.
So I've been stitching words on these samplers when I'm in some meetings where I have to sit and pay attention. I can't count. I'm not saying it's heirloom stitching. It's stitched.
Right. But it's the thought. It's getting, yes. You know, that's a great idea. It's a great idea to do that.
You know, and then we do bookmarks. And I know Cyber Stitchers does bookmarks for literacy. And that is something anyone can do. I have seen online, like they've taken some of these stitch-alongs, especially the flower one, and they make those into bookmarks, which mm-hmm. they make a darling little bookmark, whether you put them in the vases or you just have it filled with flowers, because they're a blackwork design, so you can then have a blackwork that's finished on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry, and you don't have to worry about, well, what do I do with the backside? And as I said, Cyber Stitchers does have outreach that they encourage to support community service projects.
Those are just some great ideas. Wow. Oh, that NICU thing, that is fantastic. That's just...
Yeah, that is a great service.
Oh, wow. Good stuff. Okay, Joanne, this has been fun. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, boy.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you talking to me. Like I said, some member of my chapter suggested I should contact you to let you know about Cyber Stitchers, and we hope you'll look into joining us. We just finished our meeting for March, so the only conversation is just some general things. If we have, like, general chit-chat when we have sew days or something of that nature. So there's not a lot happening until we have our meeting next in May.
Yep.
But we would hope you would look in and see what we're doing and hopefully join us. We'd love everyone to join us. Then we can do more things and we can organize more things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you made the mistake of asking us to mention you. You know, that's just the way
that
is.
Thank you. Yeah, because we learned a lot, didn't we, Gary?
We certainly did.
And thank you so much.
My wheels are spinning just as fast as yours, Beth. Just as fast, yep. All right, Joanne, thank you. And thanks to everyone for listening.